The Elements of Racial Education. Julius Evola, a Sicilian nobleman and esotericist, was throughout his life what he would describe as a man of race, one who embodied in himself an integrated tripartite form of being, body, soul, and spirit. That this work concerns itself exclusively with the Aryan race necessarily follows, given that it propounds such a conception of race. Race of the body, of the first degree, of the soul, the second degree, and of the spirit, third degree, the latter element being the exclusive property of the Aryan race. According to Evola, race is a profound force which manifests itself both within the corporeal frame, the race of the body, and within the animic spiritual frame, the inner race, race of the spirit. Those who are not men of race in the sense of a tripartite integration, but follow deviant paths or are hopelessly mongrelized beyond redemption, having an inner schism of body, soul, and spirit, will create inharmony in a nation and further degrade the racial type, opening up their soul to destructive influences and bringing all into the nadir of the Kali Yuga. In order to avoid the fate of disintegration, Evola advances a conception of race, essentially dynamic, competitive, and antagonistic, one against the cycles of time. The Elements of Racial Education begins by examining the definitions of race formulated by contemporary bioanthropologists and racial psychologists, spoken of at greater length in The Myth of the Blood, a work by Evola. The definition aids the reader in understanding what doctrines came before and their inadequacies, sub specie aeternitatis, that is to say, from an eternal point of view, or from the point of view of eternity. Evola seeks to connect the physical bodies of men with the appropriate spiritual forces for the creation of a true aristocracy, one not rooted in a decadent, rigid caste based on heredity, but rather in a fluidic hierarchy, in an organic state, ruled by a new aristocracy of blood, soul, and spirit, a super-race, adhering to the maxim, suum quique, to each their own, each member attaining their place in the state on the basis of both their inner and outer qualities. This is not to say that he outlines a universal prescription for all of the subtypes of the white race. This would be conflictual with his conception of a differentiated order. The doctrine in question, if correctly understood, can instead represent a strengthening and a further instrument of fascism as a creator of a new anti-universalistic, anti-rationalistic, anti-individualistic civilization. Evola emphasizes that this task is a matter of life or death for the future of the entire European civilization. Further, the task of racial education is not environmentalist, in the sense of a theoretical reliance upon external factors in society or the natural environment. For Evola, to be racist means to be explicitly aware and to know concretely that it is forces rooted inside of us and not the mechanical and impersonal forces of the environment that are really determining for our life, our character, and our vocations. Race is not a deterministic concept of the heritage gathered from the ancestors and transmitted to the descendants, fatalism, but rather which is a legacy that can be used or misused by its inheritors, destiny. The task of racial education is to prescribe a correct usage of this inheritance and its attunement to the divine will, embodied in the race and personalities of the men of race. As discussed in Synthesis of Racial Doctrine, Evola's racism is both anti-rationalist, anti-individualist, and anti-evolutionary. In place of the rationalist universalism of Judeo-Masonry, he affirms the innate qualities of race, which are specific to the Nordico-Aryan race and its subtypes, the qualities of character, integrity, the feeling of honor, courage, and fidelity, in the intimate attitude toward the world and life. These are the defining traits of Aryan nobility. He poses this in contradistinction to the men without qualities, of humanist anti-race, the individual. These innate qualities are vested in the personality, not the individual, its modern antipode. The personality is something organic. All that is blood, lineage, and tradition are its constitutive and inseparable elements, so that, from the strengthening of these values, propitiated by racism, presumably, it can only emerge strengthened and confirmed. The starting point is an inner examination meant to discover the fundamental element in us, the own nature, or spiritual races, in accordance with which we must essentially act. His conception of race adheres to his ethical, ontological conceptions, which are encapsulated in the titles of two of his most prominent works, Ride the Tiger and Revolt Against the Modern World. In the former case, as in the latter, the racial idea orients around individuation, form, and the preservation and spiritualization of the material forms incarnating the racial souls of their particular collective consciousness of differentiated groups of the white race. The Elements of Racial Education was intended by its author as a distillation of his larger theoretical works on race, one being the critical The Myth of the Blood, which synopsized and critiqued the various anthropological racial theories prevalent at the time of its writing. The Myth of the Blood critically examines prior bioanthropological and psychoanthropological works, starting with Arthur Comte de Gobineau's Essay on the Inequality of Human Races, 1853, and Vacher Delapouge L'Aryan, or the Aryan, 1899, up to the time of its publication in 1937. Evola treats of the theories of Houston Stuart Chamberlain in his The Foundations of the 19th Century, 1899, the theory of heredity deriving from Gregor Mendel and reiterated by Francis Galton, Ernst Haeckel, and Darwin, so-called materialist scientific anthropology, and their descendants in the Third Reich, Hitler, H.F.K. Gunther, The Racial Elements of European History of 1927, and his Typology of Aryan Subtypes and Non-Aryan Groups, and the work of Alfred Rosenberg in The Myth of the 20th Century, 1930. In Synthesis of Racial Doctrine, a more positivistic work, Evola amplifies the racial doctrine herein condensed, a tripartite racial typology of Aryan man. Evola listened to the call of the blood, the mythos of the blood, not the falsified dogma of the mythologization of the blood, as was current in his time amongst the Semitic schools of Boaz in anthropology, Freud in psychology, Husserl in phenomenology, Besant in theosophy, and Jaspers in existentialism, which he critiqued in the work The Mask and Face of Contemporary Spiritualism, 1932. Instead, he affirmed an authentic racial doctrine corresponding to the reality of life embodied by the authentic man, the man of race, whose body, soul, and spirit exist in a harmonious relationship as different yet integrated aspects of existence. The racist vision of life, says Evola, is symbolic. The inside manifests itself in the outside. What is external is symbol, sign, and symptom of something internal. Racism, in the sense of Evola, is necessarily traditionalist, as all traditions, properly so-called, derive from a race and are compatible only with that racial soul in order to be authentic. Blood and soil is the formula for a particular cultural formation. The deeper substratum of any tradition worthy of the name is the blood, the living race. Thus, tradition is grounded in the type, inheres in the blood, and is an epiphenomenon thereof. All culture is a concretion of a biological type at all ontological levels, body, soul, and spirit, and all of that which is not derived from thence is merely the distorted amalgam of anti-race. Religions such as Hinduism, a distortion of Vedism, contemporary Buddhism, a distortion of Theravada Buddhism, Christianity, a synthesis of Near Eastern Lunar Semitic cults and Mithraism, with a Jewish overlay, exemplify this expression of Volk chaos, a cacophony of disparate cultures, mixing but never forming any stable bond between them. For Evola, races are not purely physical or mechanistic in the sense of natural science, and are not the external forms themselves, but the potentialities, the constant ways of reacting, in conformity with certain laws. The variation of the phenotype, the physical form or appearance, is not essential, but temporary and illusory. The potentialities remain intact, similar to the original type. Evola's conception of physical racial groups subdivides according to the classification of H.F.K. Gunther. Nordic and Western, the Mediterranean races, Thalian, Germanic, and Dinaric, Central European, Alpine Eastern, and Baltic Eastern, each of which, though mixed to a degree over millennia of conflict and congress with other non-Aryan groups, nevertheless forms in principle a type which has peculiar to its own body, soul, and spirit, and which could reappear and reassert itself at least in the best specimens with appropriate prophylactic, i.e. eugenic, measures. Racism in Evola's sense necessarily goes to consider as more normal and regular these forms of civilization of the early days, where mixings had not yet reached such a point of irrecoverability, and where one can legitimately suppose the existence of sufficiently unaltered primary ethnic nuclei. The proto-Nordic Aryan race, the divine or heavenly races of remarkable spiritual stature, are they from whom the modern Aryan subtypes are involuted products and mixtures with absolutely inferior and extinct races, such as Homo neanderthalensis, presumably, creating the fallen man of today. Evola's project is one of the redemption of this divine quality. The infiltrations of alien races, Levantine race, desert race, Mongoloid race, Negroid and Mediterranean African race, and the Jewish element are the dross which Evola seeks to purge as means of purifying and thereby strengthening the Aryan type. One means of achieving this is the existence or establishment of favorable conditions in the countryside and in nature, in sane customs and in sane occupations, such as those which existed in traditional societies and which are catalysts of the original Nordic Aryan spirit in the creation of the thoroughbred man. This work is a template for our times. Evola propounds a doctrine of race contained within a didactic guideline for racial education for fascist Italy under Mussolini. However, his work is necessarily that which transcends time, as it is intended to be viewed sub specie aeternitatis. It is to be applied in time and adjusted for differentiating factors, body, soul, and spirit. It is a template for genetico-spiritual eugenics against the current dysgenics of Judeo-Masonry and a solution to the mongrelization agenda of what is euphemistically called multiculturalism. His work is a weapon designed to counter what he called the integrationist fanaticism of Judeo-Masonry and the mainstream religious hierarchy and its secular variants, and their paradoxical disintegrative outcome, a society of discord amidst the jarring cacophony of Volk chaos, with Evola's prescription of a higher form of integration of both person and the people with whom they belong. In order to redeem themselves, the Aryan races must extricate themselves from the slime pits in which they have allowed themselves to be ensnared. This is the task of the elements of racial education, to prescribe a formula for eugenical improvement of the varied subtypes of Aryan man, to consolidate the type in its essential elements and discard the dross, both in genetics, selective breeding, forms of salubrious physical action, hardening the warrior within, the race of first degree, the body, behaviorally, developing a template for certain forms of Aryan behavior to be integrated into the consciousness as a fundamental tendency, the race of the second degree, or the race of the soul, and spiritually, attuning oneself to the divine will and adhering to the rites and modes of action which accorded with the classical tradition appropriate to the type, the race of the third degree, the race of the spirit. Hence, racialist research cannot be quantitative. It must go beyond the numerically predominant common outer elements. It must discover the purest representation of the given type and to discover what animates it, that is, its inner race too, and therefore to have the sense of the original unity in which the various elements of the race come together. This work is a living work, as it is a necessary condition of the continuance of the being of Aryan man in all of his differentiated subtypes, and their becoming who they are in essence. Failure to adopt the elements contained herein and to implement them both in one's life on a personal level, as a man of race, a differentiated type, in relations with others, mate selection, appropriate behavioral comportment toward friends, foes, and neutral parties, and in the establishment of an organic state, is to bring about the destruction of all in the name of a bastardized oneness of Judeo-Freemasonic humanitas. Hence the ethical imperative this work represents as a true education for the man of race, a leader of the type to which he belongs as an aristocrat of blood, soul, and spirit. Racism in the sense of Evola is thus an ethical imperative, the conditio sine qua non of one's being a person of Aryan kind, attuned to the spiritual formation of his race and living in accordance therewith. This will essentially preserve the type or racial oversoul which gives rise to his being and creates a harmonious state of being for his collective and for himself. The animic spiritual frame that circumscribes both race of the soul and of the spirit, Evola amplifies through differentiating these two facets of race. The race of the soul determines character, sensitivity, natural inclination, style in action and reaction, and attitudes towards one's own experiences. The discipline whose subject matter it is, he designates psychoanthropology. It correlates with the psychological predispositions of the racial subtypes, as per Ludwig Klaus, and critiqued in The Mythos of the Blood. Race and heredity are to be conceived as forces, as potentialities, as formative energies from within, and to some extent, even from above. This, according to Evola, is the classical tendency of racism, will to form, aversion for the promiscuous, reassumption of the principles of our ancient wisdom, that is, know yourself and be yourself, fidelity to one's nature, that is to say, to one's own blood and one's own race. All forms of culture are either authentic or inauthentic, and Evola seeks to attune the degraded remnant of the Aryan race in its component parts, body, soul, and spirit, to bring it to a state where it can attain an authentic tradition suitable to itself and lead the way back to the heritage of light, the light of the north, of the Aryan race in its Hyperborean origins. In short, to reanimate the zombified corporeal form of Aryan man through an attunement to the divine will. The tradition of a race comprises its various cultural, artistic, religious, ethical forms, which are manifestations of the race of the soul and of the spirit. The so-called culture of the modern world, that which the National Socialists called Entartete Kultur, degenerate culture, is the inauthentic result of anti-race. An example of an inauthentic man, one not of race, but a ruin, as Evola presented in his work Men and Ruins, 1953, contrasting the men of race with the degenerate modern, is the current bourgeois intellectual in modern Western civilization. An effeminized type who exists purely in a deviant form, adopting a Jewish Dionysian hedonistic motivation, maximizing pleasure and minimizing pain, and a lunar feminine consciousness, deceitful, mercurial, loquacious, sarcastic, specious, dishonorable. Such a man is anatomically male only and fails the standard of a spiritual virility that a masculinist embodies, one who is a man of race in the solar Olympian sense. The place of women in Evola's masculinist racial conception adheres to the classical maxim of suum cuique, to each his own, and to each her own. Neither too high in social position, as in the societies of the Lunar and Demetrian race, nor too low, as in the case of Asian societies. The libertinism inherent in liberalism and the despotism inherent in Near Eastern Abrahamic religion are both superseded, with woman occupying her normal role in traditional Aryan society. The form in which a culture and a tradition crystallizes is that of the organic state. For Evola, in the fascist idea, the state is the instrument of a political elite, of the best part of the nation. with racism, this elite is meant to reassume the heritage of the higher race and tradition existing in the national composite. Evola stated, "I'm not a fascist, but I'm a super fascist," in his self-defense statement in 1951. His fascist conception purported to transcend the fascism of Il Duce Mussolini and the bourgeois philosopher Giovanni Gentile, as expounded upon in their The Doctrine of Fascism. In his work, Heathen Imperialism, 1933, Evola critiques this bourgeois state fascism and propounds a superior state form as the basis for an authentic tradition in the classical spirit of the Aryan solar-Uranian consciousness, which for Italians specifically means that the supra-race of the Italian nation is the race of Rome, the Aryo-Roman race. In the elements of racial education, the project entails both a negative eugenics, which Evola calls prophylactic racism, or racial prophylaxis, and a positive eugenics that spans a tripartite conception of races of the body, soul, and spirit. Racial prophylaxis is a cleansing or nigredo phase of the transmutation of the fallen subtype of the Aryan race, most all somewhat mixed from their Hyperborean origins, and has a twofold form: a defense against mixture between incompatible types, which he outlines, and an isolation of elements in which race is already affected, an excision, so to speak, of degraded or disintegrative elements in the composite subtypes in question, a purification of the type through, in its positive phase, an action of strengthening and inner selection. The strengthening of the Aryan subtype entails a positive aspect of mate selection in accordance with the ancient Aryan teachings about race. Only modified by the knowledge of contemporary eugenics and physical bioanthropology in a crossbreeding, however, the masculine heredity would basically have the dominant character, the feminine one, on the other hand, would have the recessive one, meaning that the male genetico-spiritual race modifies that of the females such that weak and inferior males degrade the type, but weaker and inferior females do not necessarily do so, but are merely assimilated to the male stock. This applies only with compatible types of the Aryan race as a whole and spans a tripartite form of race. Thus, in place of the miscegenation prescribed by the hidden hand of the dark forces, is posited a eugenics-oriented selectivity based upon the classical Aryan tradition. Evola's intent is to enhance everything that is superior and essential and differentiated in the face of the promiscuous, the acquired, and the constructed. The racial idea, outlined by Evola, condemns the ruin, the degenerate man, involved in miscegenation or so-called race mixing, who he castigates as committing an utter treachery toward his own blood and his ancestors, and a crime in regard to one's descendants. This, contrary to the contemporary falsifiers of Evola's ideas, who would attempt to distort his conceptions to accommodate their globalist anti-race agenda. They would attempt to pervert interpreting his ideas of race as merely a mystical state of quasi-Freemasonic Gnostic illumination, only of a more nebulous Abrahamic variety, with an oligarchy of quote-unquote aristocrats of a soul, having no relationship with a race of the first degree, the body, physical race, such as outlined in his racial works, is clearly not the case, which explains why they are comparatively rare, as deliberately neglected by mainstream publishers such as Arctos, Inner Traditions, and Counter Currents. Contrary to this nebulous universalism, Evola eschews and condemns miscegenation, bad breeding, or incompatible racial mixture. He states emphatically that when heterogeneous races cross, a disharmony and often an inner fragmentation comes about. Such a mixture forms no stable bond at any higher level and thus leads to the disintegration of the race, should prophylactic measures not be taken. These hybrids create mixed-up persons, the inner force exhausting itself in all conflicts and functions of all sorts. in this hybridization of races only a certain self-presence or creative tension within compatible types may overcome that fragmentation, and should that tension be lacking, the types cannot be said to be compatible. Only the combination of elements that maintain the supportive conditions of the main core of the race in question can avoid that disintegrative process, and this he emphasizes, especially in the spiritual field. Miscegenation stems from the motivations of the weak links of the race, those whose arbitrariness of will and passivity toward the impulses and feelings of his body leads them to partake of the forbidden fruit of the racial foreigner. For Evola, such a deviant constitutes an utter treachery toward his own blood and his ancestors, and a crime in regards to one's descendants. Over and against such deviant corruption, Evola's racial ideas, formulated to curtail the dysgenics of modernity and the triumph of the underman through the democratic weight of numbers, the reign of quantity, through mere progenation. The race of the spirit lies within the realm of spiritual being and all of that which is bound up therewith, that which transcends spatiotemporality and codifies itself in speculative systems, myths and symbols, and in the diversity of religious experience itself. It is a separate yet integral discipline of racial education which serves as a trajectory of all subdisciplines and constitutes the very purpose of Aryan life. Similar to Alfred Rosenberg, though positioned at the Olympian height of spirit, Evola focuses on the inner race and does not fall into mere naturalism, which other contemporary racial theorists had done in stating, the outer is a function of the inner, the physical form is the instrument, expression, and symbol of the psychic form, which parallels the words of the German ideologue, race is the image of soul, the myth of the 20th century. Only here race is portrayed in its inner dimension to a much greater degree, and unlike Rosenberg and other National Socialist racial theorists, is emphasized in a given priority. Spirit over matter, yet animating and elevating it. The race of the spirit encompasses the essential, the living race, the sense of connection not so much with the works of our ancestors as with the very forces from which such was derived in them, forces which continue in our blood in the most mysterious and sacred strata of our being. The subcategories of the race of the spirit Evola presents are sevenfold and to be found to varying degrees in each of the subtypes of the physical races of the Aryan, save perhaps a few which are diametrically opposed to the solar Olympian super race inherent in and defining all Aryan mankind. In the solar or Olympian race, the suprahuman element predominates as its fundamental trait, connoted by the term Aryan, meaning noble in Sanskrit, the noble metal of gold, an alchemical symbol of the sun of mind, of the higher spiritual consciousness. The soul or style of soul, most consonant with the Nordic physical type, is that of the race of the active man, of the man who feels that the world is represented to him as material for possession and attack. The antipode of the Aryan is the telluric, thonic, earthly, subterranean race of the spirit, which could perhaps best be described as infernal, and whose foremost representative is the anti-race Jew, which is treated of at greater length in Evola's work, Three Aspects of the Jewish Problem, 1936. Other Aryan racial subtypes of the spirit are discussed and further expanded upon in Synthesis of Racial Doctrine, these being the Lunar Demetrian, that race which experiences spirituality passively as a reflected illumination like the moon reflects the sun, the Titanic, which race has connection with the elementary forces and which acts according to a style of affirmation, yet still without light or inner liberation, the Amazonian race, which in its essence is lunar feminine, but which assumes affirmative, virile forms of expression. The aphrodisiac, having a spirituality which oscillates between love for beauty and form and the enjoyment of the senses. The Dionysian race, and its exaltation of the impulses and an intense way of living based upon sensation. And the race of the heroes, the latter being a sort of classical, tragic, spiritual form with elements of the Dionysian. These racial subtypes are correlated with both the second soul and first body, degrees of race in both authentic and inauthentic ways, the physical race being, though Evola does not explicitly state, presumably a concretion of the higher forms on the basis of the Hermetic principle, that which is above is like unto that which is below. Those physical races who have assumed or who have become entangled in inauthentic forms of soul or spirit through inner decadence or being overcome by a greater force would be considered inauthentic men, not men of race, but ruins of the former Hyperborean archetype from which they have already degraded. For example, a dolichocephalic Western Aryan and Nordic man, e.g. Lombard, Italian, or Dane, would be a man of race insofar as he adheres in his style of living and adherence to the tradition of the spiritual solar race. Such a man of race will model his life on action and a detachment from the veil of Maya, a resistance to the current of disintegration, the corrosive waters of the cycles of time, as spoken of in Evola's magnum opus, Revolt Against the Modern World, Ride the Tiger, and to some extent, The Doctrine of Awakening, 1943, his work on originary Buddhism. Evola discusses the Aryan racial subtypes and their Nordico-Western origin. He critiques the biblical notion that civilization emanates from the Near East and Mediterranean, ex Orient Lux, and the Darwinian mythology of a common African origin, which supports it, and instead posits the true paleo-historical origin, which is the current Arctic area, ex Orient Lux. No, but ex Occident Lux, from the West Light. He covers mainstream archaeological ground, which necessitates this conclusion, an inconvenient truth for the Semitophilic culture of modernity. The Aryan is the originator of civilization which bears his stamp globally in decayed remnants of subsequent mixtures and archaeological and linguistic cognates. However, the Nordico-Aryan thesis, Evola propounds, denies to any current peoples the right to corner or monopolize the nobility of our common origin, as there are no current Aryan subtypes who are pure or purely representative of the Hyperborean archetype. This leads Evola to the problem of Latinity, or the Latin myth, which he attempts to clarify, of its false historical contaminations. The popular notion of Latin possesses meaning only on the aesthetic, humanistic, and literary planes, in the world of arts and culture, in the most superficial sense of the word. This notion is a distortion of the proper meaning. Its true origins, Evola proves, is as a designator of peoples whose racial and spiritual kinship with the group of the Nordico-Aryan peoples is, for every competent person, incontrovertible. He evidences this claim by asserting that the Aryan primordial races, both the Nordico-Atlantic ones, the Franco-Cantabrian civilization of the Cro-Magnon men, and the Nordico-Scandinavian ones, the civilization of Fossum. The Dorian migrations into the Mediterranean culminated in the Spartans, who were characterized by the cult of Apollo as solar Hyperborean god, and this is one of the originary formations of the Mediterranean Nordico-Aryan strain. Evola further goes on to analyze the problem of Latinity and how it became contaminated with influences of Italic pre-Aryan strata, and therefore culminated in degenerate Aryan civilizations of a composite Romanity, an overlay upon the latent Aryan Romanity of Hyperborean extraction. He states, emphasizing the task, that in racial education it is of capital importance to bring to light such divergencies, a means of purifying the race of its non-Aryan dross. This is to be achieved in reconstructing the imperial mission of Aryo-Roman stock, discoverable in the customs, cults, rituals, and institutions of ancient Rome. The ideal Roman type, or super-race, of Evola, he delineates according to his tripartite schema of race. Physically, the first degree of race, psychologically, the second degree, that of the soul, and spiritually, the third degree, that of the spirit. This type is outlined in terms of its essential qualities. It is dolichocephalic, has a prominence of the forehead, it has neither thick eyebrows nor fleshy lips, etc. Psychologically, second degree, its behavioral qualities and tendencies express themselves in a greater dynamism, which is nonetheless controlled, clear-headed, possessed of a dominant attitude, with meditated resoluteness, etc. Its ethics embody the classical virtues of Rome, neither moralistic nor reactionary. Virtus, fortitudo, constantia, sapientia, humanitas, disciplina, gravitas, dignitas, solemnitas, fides. The spiritual form of the super race embodies a feeling of respect for the divine, yet not the Semitic servility toward the divinity. The Roman ideal for Evola subsumes a conscious and resolute action, which could be considered as continuation of the divine will itself. The task of fascist Italy in the time of Evola is still valid for our time today, to create an environment saturated with spiritual forces and heroic vocations. We shall reproduce the climate needed by the super race, which is ours to reawaken. The impetus of the ideas of blood of race is thus necessary to avoid the collectivist leveling of a quantitatively based demo-Masonic dystopia. Evola says, we must see to it that race has a heroic and aristocratic meaning. Evola's curriculum vitae outlining the fundamental principles of a complete racism is an attempt to guide the Aryan race out of the quicksand of disintegration and to a sound understanding of its life task. It is an attempt to reorient the trajectory of the will of the Aryan in opposition to the cycles of time, following the counterclockwise path of the swastika, the path of spiritual virility, of power. To purify oneself, one's racial subtype, and the Aryan race as a composite whole of the dross of accumulated decadence is the golden target. The elements of racial education is the arrow. The bow is the race, and the will, the motive force. It behooves the Aryan of today, living in the nadir of the Kali Yuga, to follow the path laid out in this didactic work of Baron Julius Evola, and to become who he still remains in germ, like Evola, a man of race. The racial education Evola offers is a racial purity spiral exerting a centrifugal force and working against the cycles of time in a leftwards motion, following the path of the swastika of the Aryan toward the center and Olympian height of Hyperborea.